Feeling stressed or out of control around food often stems from issues with our body. So the need to control food often stems from our fears of what food will do to our body. But trying to control food in this way usually backfires, as our body will drive us to think about and to want food that we're trying to avoid even more. We often try to resolve both issues, so how we feel about our body and our issues with food, by trying to fix our food issues first. So, trying to just eat right first, and then we will feel good in our body. But it needs to happen the other way around. If we deny our body its basic needs, it will keep fighting back, and then we'll stay stuck in this cycle. And this is where body respect can be used as a powerful way to overcome stressful emotional eating and to feel good around food. So we will explore now what body respect is, how a poor relationship with your body can trigger emotional eating, and how to work with your body to feel good around food from a body respect approach. And if you are looking for a little bit more support to feel good around food, my Anti-Diet Guide to Overcoming Emotional Eating online course supports you to navigate stressful eating and develop connection with your body, including with your emotions and your hunger signals, so you can feel good around food. So feel free to check it out in the link in the description. You are listening to the Food and Life Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Emma Townsend, a UK registered dietitian and a certified intuitive eating counselor. I support you to move away from lifelong dieting and feeling stressed with food to develop a positive relationship with food and connection with your body. And as always, a reminder that we are all unique. So please use this as an opportunity to learn and explore. But if something does not sit with you, then it's not meant for your unique self. And if you have any health concerns or you're worried you have an eating disorder, please seek personalized support from your registered healthcare provider. So let's jump into how you can use body respect to overcome emotional eating and food stress. Our issues with food really often stem from underlying issues with our body. And our culture places such a black and white and just simplified equation between food intake and body changes. It's also so normalized in our culture to be dissatisfied with our body. So it even seems like you have a perhaps normal level of dissatisfaction with your body, but that doesn't mean it isn't affecting your relationship with food. I want to start by exploring just what I mean by body respect and how this is different from other similar movements such as body positivity or even just body acceptance. Then I'll explore in what ways a poor relationship with our bodies can exacerbate emotional eating and a poor relationship with food. Then I'll provide some ideas to explore and consider how they are affecting your relationship with your body. And perhaps one of the underlying triggers for emotional eating, binge eating, and a poor relationship with food. So, to start off, what is body respect? Body respect is about striving to look after your body in the best way that you can in the moment. And it's not perfect, and it's not about doing anything fancy. It's more about our intention behind our actions when it comes to food and body. For example, it's really common in our culture for a quote-unquote health kick to involve dieting. Whether calorie counting, restricting, again, quote-unquote bad foods, or even strategies like detoxing, in which we deny our body essential energy and nutrients for a defined period. Generally, these types of health goals are focused around weight, hence the emphasis on restricting food intake that we see. But let's consider our intention behind the action. We want our body to look a certain way. And why? Usually it's because we think it should look the way that a perfect body is portrayed in our culture. But if we forget about the weight loss goal, how is this action actually helping our body? Is this action respecting our body's need for nutrients and energy?
Is this action respecting our body still needs love and care and kindness, even if we're not happy with it? When we are focused on our body being wrong, we generally focus on restriction. We end up restricting things from our body because we believe it's not worthy of these essential and innate needs. We believe unless it changes, it doesn't deserve respect. But this just leaves our body having to fight back. We end up in a disrespectful relationship with each other. A respectful relationship with our body acknowledges that our body has basic needs, and even if we are not completely happy with how it looks or how it feels, it still deserves these basic needs. It still deserves love and care. And in fact, when we give our body love and care and permission to have its basic needs, it will perform better. It will feel better. It will find its weight and shape that feels and works best. Importantly, giving our body respect is not giving up on ourselves or letting ourselves go. It's actually the opposite. It means we are prioritizing ourselves over the external expectations that are pushed on us. And when we think about it, how has caring for our body by respecting its basic needs and looking after it from a place of respect rather than just how it looks or societal pressures come to be such a radical approach to health? How is it that health is about restricting basic needs and fighting with your body, as this is just anything but health? But I know that in our culture, we are constantly told that to be healthy, we must deny and restrict and control our body. So it's common that we go down this path. If you relate to this, it's not your fault. You are just caring for yourself in the way you have been taught. But think about it. Has this been helpful? Does it make you feel good? Does it improve your well-being or your satisfaction and happiness in life? Isn't that the ultimate goal? The one where weight loss or fighting to not gain weight is supposed to take us? If you are relating to this and this path has not been helpful, if losing weight or trying to lose weight or fighting to maintain your weight is not actually making your life any better, then you have permission to try a new way. I just want to talk a bit about how body respect can differ from body positivity, because these phrases can be used quite interchangeably. And I know that body positivity might feel like something you do not feel you can or even want to achieve. Even body acceptance might feel a bit too much for your relationship with your body. And if you relate to this, you can still practice body respect. Body positivity has become a bit of a buzzword and in some ways become a bit disconnected from its roots, beginning with the fat rights movement. In summary, it's about self-acceptance and a positive body image, but it goes deeper into challenging patriarchy, questioning capitalism, and exploring our ideas about bodies, which requires unpacking our own internalized fat phobia, sexism, ableism, and racism. It goes quite deep when we really get into it. Exploring these underlying cultural and societal factors can be powerful and really help us to understand why we and our culture feel this way around bodies, and help to free yourself from body-shaming thoughts. But this may not be a place you have the capacity to explore right now. Even body positive activists generally recognize that body positivity is not defined as having good body image all the time. It's difficult to have positive body image and love ourselves all the time while surrounded by messages that certain bodies are more worthy than others. But with body positivity, we are doing the work to understand the deeper cultural and historical issues behind why we feel this way. And we have some coping tools to help on difficult body image days. Body acceptance can feel a little less intense. It's about finding neutrality, not disliking our body, but recognizing that loving or even liking our body may not be a reasonable goal at the moment or even where we want to get to. In this way, it aims to separate weight from health behaviors and open up space to care for ourselves and focus on changes that are not measured through weight. We can focus on how our body feels, our mood, and how much we are able to focus on other areas of life. There are so many different terms used really to describe finding peace or happiness in our body. And there's no right or wrong. Exploring different ways to care for your body and finding one that sits with you is helpful. But I've chosen to focus on what I call body respect, because it feels more inclusive to where each of us may find ourselves. Whether we are wanting to focus on exploring deep into the cultural ideas, on loving our body, accepting our body, or we do not feel we can or even want any of that, we can still make space to explore respecting that our body does have innate biological and psychological needs that cannot be removed, no matter how much we dislike the way we look. So how can a poor relationship with our body exacerbate emotional eating, binge eating, or just a poor relationship with food? Our culture is obsessed with weight and weight loss. In actuality, there's absolutely no science to support the body mass index or the BMI scale, or that weight loss is equated with health. And although we get told it's all about health, for many of us, it is much more comes down to worth and acceptance in society. When we are constantly surrounded all of our lives by both blatantly obvious fatphobic messages, such as our doctor not listening to our concerns and rather telling us to lose weight, or blatant discrimination or bullying because of our body, and also just the subtle but constant reminders that we live in a fatphobic culture, such as seating not being made available for all bodies, or fat jokes present in almost all forms of media, we are going to internalize this, and it can feel the easiest way to fit in and avoid the discrimination is to lose weight or make sure we don't gain weight. But the issue is not your body. It's with our culture. In our culture, we are also surrounded by extremely simplified messages that directly equate our body size to what we eat. They tell us that our body size is completely within our control, and the problem is that you are eating wrong. And I just want to clarify, there's no truth to this, but it's hard to separate ourselves. So then when we find ourselves eating in a way that we don't consider ideal, it can fuel all sorts of emotions. Firstly, a poor relationship with our bodies is often the driving force to the guilt and shame we feel from an eating experience. And this can fuel an emotional eating cycle. Secondly, a poor relationship with our bodies is often the driving force behind starting a diet or restricting food. And dieting and food restriction is a common underlying trigger for obsessive food thoughts, out of control eating, emotional eating, and it can lead to an all or nothing cycle or a binge restrict cycle. And thirdly, it's our culture's obsession with weight and the simplistic way that food is directly related to this that so often creates a fear of foods and leads to obsessive food thoughts that can turn into uncomfortable eating experiences. The way that our culture simplifies that our weight is directly related to the food we eat could not be more inaccurate. There are so many factors that influence our weight, and a large one is simply genetics. body diversity is so normal, and the very normal level of diversity in bodies goes much beyond the constraints of the quote-unquote normal BMI range. Most often, our attempts to control our weight lead to the opposite of what we hope for. Dieting is actually the most common indicator of weight gain, not weight loss. And that's because we create this fight with our body, where it's just trying to fight against the famine it is in by increasing its biological and psychological drives towards food. For those who do manage to keep our body at a lower place than where it naturally sits, it can take a constant struggle. Food thoughts can feel overwhelming, and we may not be able to feel fully present in life. If we're living in a larger body, it can be so difficult to accept that, firstly, trying to control our body is very unlikely to lead to long-term weight loss. I mean, we're surrounded by constant diet messages and diets in disguise, not a diet diets, that tell us all it takes is this cutting this out or counting calories or macros or whatever else. But we know that the vast majority of diets and diets that claim to not be diets just don't work for weight loss or happiness, and they create a poor relationship with food and body. It can also be difficult to accept and find peace with our body in a world that tells us our body is wrong. This is especially difficult for those in bodies outside of what's considered ideal, or perhaps at the doctor a normal BMI. But there is also a fear ingrained in many of us to avoid weight gain no matter our size. And this is generally perpetuated by the fact that if we gain weight, we fear people will comment on it, or the fact that we get compliments based on our body now and we worry they will stop. To bring it back, a poor relationship with our body so often leads to a poor relationship with food, and it increases binge eating and emotional eating because we binge or emotionally eat on the foods we're trying to avoid. Restriction leads to out of control eating. And the reason we restrict in the first place is because of control over our body in a culture that tells us we should control our body. So now I just want to explore a few different ways you can begin to respect your body. Even if you are not ready to love, to like, or even to accept your body. And this is other than basic self-care and nourishment. And of course, take on what feels helpful to you and let go of anything that doesn't feel so helpful. First up is measuring your body. Are you measuring your body in some way? Whether it's on the scale or watching your weight, or another form of measuring with clothes sizes, using your hands, pinching, body checking in the mirror or another reflection, or even comparing yourself to others. These are all forms of externally measuring our body based on its appearance. If you relate, how does this actually make you feel? How does it better your life? And how does it improve your body image? Spending hours a week in front of the mirror assessing your curves you wish were not there would just make you think even more about them. And to become more obsessed with what you perceive as negative about them. Or when you step on the scale, what does that actually give you? How does the number on a metal and plastic device affect your behavior and mood for the rest of the day? Does the extra focus actually make you feel more insecure about it? Or even make you feel that your worth is tied to your appearance? How about comparing your body to that of others? How does this affect your connection with others? Or your mood while out with friends or family? The problem is when we use these tools or techniques to measure ourselves, it does not usually make our life better. It often distracts us from life. It can affect our ability to nourish ourselves with food and self-cares. Actually, our body, including our weight, is controlled by so many other principles, and largely it's just outside of our control. In fact, worrying about how we look is stressful, and this isn't good for our physical or mental health, And it also doesn't allow our body to find its most healthy weight. You really don't need to know what you weigh to take care of yourself, because there's no equation that can tell you where your body should be. The only way you can know where it should be is to allow it to just be, and know that its place may change over life as well. If you relate to this, it can be helpful to explore your relationship with the scale or other measuring tools. How often are you doing it? How does it affect your day or week? Is it really helpful? And if not, how can you aim to reduce or let go of this measuring tool? If you do, explore how this affects your mood and focus on life. The next area to explore is diversifying your world. We live in a world that is full of all different bodies, yet the vast majority of our media show only one narrow view of bodies. Larger bodies are often erased as if they don't exist, or they are portrayed with negative character traits. Of course, this is not true. Body diversity is just a normal thing, and we cannot tell anything about someone's lifestyle, physical health, mental health, eating patterns, education, empathy, kindness, humor, or anything else based on body size. But when we live in a world where the media largely tells us we can, it's hard not to internalize this and have this influence our perception of ourselves and others. Take a look at the movies you watch, the TV shows, news, social media accounts, healthcare spaces, advertisements, and even conversation with others. How often do you see either negative portrayals of bodies that don't match the cultural ideal, or just that these bodies don't exist? Although our world is full of discrimination based on body size, you can create more diversity in your life. Social media can be a great starting place, as there are so many body positive and food positive accounts. Following Health at Every Size or HAES, H-A-E-S, hashtags can be a great place to start. And also, if it feels helpful for you, finding accounts that show movement, adventure, exercise, and anything in diverse body sizes, it can broaden our idea of what fit really looks like. And it's not just on social media. Consider in other areas too. For example, in the exercise space, your gym, personal trainer, or sports group, are they focused on weight or body aesthetics? Do they have a diverse group of members or people who they work with? Do they push weight goals, body beliefs, or even shame you for your food or body? Or in healthcare, do you have a doctor or other healthcare therapists who are constantly telling you to lose weight? If there is any way that you're able to change practitioners, then find a healthcare provider who is open to treating you as an individual outside of your weight. And what about other social groups that you're in? What kind of topics are people talking about in those groups? And then also consider how you view different bodies, and then consider where this has come from. Is there another way you can view people of different bodies that doesn't focus on their weight? The next one is explore your passions. Now, do you have any passions you have been putting on the back burner because you don't have time or you don't have the headspace? How much of your time is actually taken up by food and body thoughts? Thinking about food all the time or beating ourselves up for what we've just eaten can take away from other interests or passions. But you deserve to have passions and interests and hobbies. If you relate to this, explore your passions. What are they? What do you want to achieve in life? Or what's that activity you've been meaning to start? Set some time aside each week to focus on something that really lights you up. It helps to take you outside of your body and do something you enjoy and value. You'll have less time to spend focusing on your body or focusing on your food, which really helps to make food and body stress a little less overpowering part of your life. And lastly, treat your body as a friend. So let's be honest, your body is the longest relationship you will ever have. And unlike in other relationships, you do not have the chance to leave it. But let's imagine in a friendship, you might not like every single thing about your friend, but you generally don't dwell on the things you find negative. You let them go and you enjoy the positive characteristics. You need to do the same with your body. You are in no way ever expected to like everything about your body. No one does. But you can still be friends. If you've had a particularly difficult relationship with your body, perhaps you've been saying some hurtful comments for a long time now, it can take time for your body to trust you again. Just like in a friendship, it may take time for your friend to trust you again. A good place to start is using kind words to yourself. When you find yourself saying something negative, notice it and say something kind, perhaps as you would to a friend. And get curious about why you think certain things about yourself and explore if there's another way to think or feel. Again, you don't have to like everything, but in a relationship you are stuck in for life, being friends is so much easier. So thank you for listening and just for taking the time to explore respecting your body. Consider the areas that we just discussed, such as letting go of measuring your body, diversifying your world, exploring new passions, and treating yourself as a friend. And feel free to explore further anything that feels helpful for you.
And if you would benefit from further support to feel good around food, I have linked to my anti-diet guide to overcoming emotional eating. It really dives into your relationship with food and connection with your body and provides practical steps so you can start to feel good around food. It's the perfect anti-diet alternative to the diet culture ads we are bombarded with. It's been so lovely to share this episode with you today. For more support and information, including articles, free resources, the online course I mentioned, and personalized support, you can visit my home on the internet at foodlifefreedom.com. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review on the podcast platform you use. And feel free to use the three-dot symbol to share with anyone who may find this episode helpful. If you have a question or topic you would love to have covered on the podcast, I would love to hear from you.